want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 193 of the Geocaching Podcast, other location-based games, recorded live on February 23rd, 2011. I'm your host, XFunkX, with
Daryl W4.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our talkcast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate on the right. We have a voicemail line, and the number is 206-350-3GPS. This episode is sponsored by listeners like you. Please visit geocachingpodcast.com/support. Welcome back, Daryl. It's in here, it's still cold and still snowy here. I thought for a minute there, a couple weeks ago, we were going to get out of this winter thing, but it's still snowy.
Yeah, well, we still had the cooler weather this last weekend. You know, it was a good weekend to go out. We went out, did some shopping, and hit about 6 caches on Saturday. Ran home to record another Caches of the Roundtable. Sunday, we actually made a run with our friends, Team Legend 4, to do a Where I Go cache up in Frankenmuth, which is a big tourist destination in the state here. Got 7 caches total, including a Where I Go, before we had to head back to beat the coming storm. But we were using the Oregon and the iPhone with the PyGo software. And I have to say, I really like the PyGo software a lot better than using the Oregon. It's much easier to read. It was more responsive. And you know, I've grown to kind of really not like the Oregon touchscreen so much, because it just, you got to really pound on the thing sometimes to get it to work.
Yeah.
So it was nice having the chance to actually kind of use the two side by side and go through a bigger Where I Go cartridge and use it. But yeah, I'm very much liking that PyGo software. It's a nice piece of kit to have with you.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
Well, Saturday's our big GC 101. Well, I shouldn't say big, but our bigger than expected GC 101, our Geocaching 101 event in Marine City. So I'm really looking forward to that, because that's going to be our first one. But kind of not really ready for it at the same time.
I know how you mean. I know when I did the Geocaching Swiss Army Knife webinar, I was ready ready to do it, but I at the same time felt like I wasn't ready. But it turned out all right. I think you'll do a good job with Geocaching 101.
Oh, I'm sure we will. It's just, you know, you sit there going, geez, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would, you know, and I haven't sat down and done the whole presentation and timed it out like I really wanted to. And at this point, I'm definitely not going to have a chance, because, you know, timing is just not working out so well.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I think you actually got some time together to go out and do some caching this weekend.
I did. We actually found 6 caches. And so, you know, it's a big streak for me in the winter. Usually I find one a month or so, but I found 6 this weekend. One was an FTF. So that was really cool. We saw a cache published and decided to go out and hit it. And it was a puzzle cache of all things. So it was fun to be the first to find on that. And then we also found a really interesting kind of piece of swag that really wasn't with a cache, but kind of, we were at this small cache and I looked down and near the cache, and I saw like the film for a trailer, like they'd play in the movie theater for the Mission to Mars trailer, like the actual film sitting there. So of course I took that. I've got it sitting on my desk now. It's pretty fun. But yeah, I was not expecting to see that.
No, that's definitely not the kind of thing that you'd expect to see laying around in the woods.
No, well, it wasn't in the woods. It was in an urban-type setting, so it wasn't that much of a surprise, but still, it was like, really? I don't expect that.
No, definitely not. That's pretty weird, but definitely a cool memento.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's sitting there, and I have opened it up a little bit to kind of see, and it's written right on it what it is, and it's really cool.
Nice.
Now, with the 6 caches, I'm sitting right nice and easy at 590 caches, and you know, I'd like to make, I'm going to hit Groundspeak headquarters this summer in July, and I'd like to make that an even 100. So I have a really tough decision. Do I not do any caching all summer and only hit 10 caches? And so I make my 10th one Groundspeak, or do I try and really kick it up and do a, you know, kick it and do make it so I, my other one's an even one. I think I'll probably go with that option because I don't want to just sit around and wait all summer.
No, definitely go for the 109. And that way, you know, you get, you know, 100 more caches in the meantime.
Yes, exactly. Now, before we get on to the topic tonight, Daryl, we did receive some listener feedback, so let's go ahead and hear that.
Listener feedback.
Yeah, hi, this is Kevin over at geocaches.co.nz. We're running a fundraiser for the Loss of Life in Christchurch today. Could you please visit our site and promote the GeoCoin and all proceeds to charity, please? That's geocaches.co.nz. We ship internationally, so there's no problem there. Everything you can do will be cool. Much appreciated, anything you can do. Thank you.
We will go ahead and link to that site in our show notes. Again, that's for the a coin that will support the fund for the geocacher, the people in New Zealand who had lost life due to the earthquake. We also received a favorite or a callback about our favorites episode when we talked about favorites. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
Yeah, I wanted to call in a comment on the favorites point about assigning favorites, and I understand how you were talking about which caches are, in fact, your favorite versus maybe a good cache. The way that I have used them is I give favorite points to the ones that are what I feel is good caches and hope that most of the other cachers around the world do the same, because when I run pocket queries, I can go through and sort them, and I make notes of the ones that have favorite points added to them. Now, if they are just one or two or actually below five favorite points, I really don't make a whole bunch of an effort to go after those caches. But when you come across caches that have 25 and 30 favorite points or anything above 5 or 10 points, yes, I'll make an effort to go after those, because several people have decided to say that that is a favorite cache or hopefully a good cache, whatever the case may be. I do think that Groundspeak, I believe they are making more of an effort of doing a percentage to make it to where you could actually tell favorite points versus how many logs or favorite points. Right now, I think they're doing it versus how many people have premium memberships. But I do understand what you're talking about. Is that my favorite cache? Well, no. But is it a good cache? And hopefully others will see that and give it points. Yeah, I'll go after something that has more than about 5 or 10 points. Thanks a lot. Thanks for a great podcast. Talk to you later. This is Chipper of the CSRA Cruisers. Bye-bye.
Geocaching question of the day. The bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is The Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Have you ever accidentally left your GPS at a cache site? 48% of the easily distracted geocachers that replied said yes, they had left their GPS at a cache site. One said they left it there, went back the next day, it was still there and still on. So tell me, have you ever left your GPS at a cache site? You want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, The Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Tonight, we are going to be talking about other location-based games besides geocaching. And, you know, because it is winter here in the Midwest, at least, and it's really cold out, and it's not always the easiest thing to want to get out and go find a pill bottle below 6 feet of snow. So what we decided to do is talk about other location-based games that you can play that are just as fun, so that you can still kind of get your fix of location in while it's winter and can't maybe get all of the geocaches that you want to get. The first thing we want to talk about tonight is really closely related to geocaching, and that's the Where I Go. Daryl, you mentioned that you did a Where I Go cache this week, last weekend or last week. You know, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we did a whole show on this one, but this is really probably the most closely tied to geocaching because it is a Groundspeak project, and we have the Where I Go caches. And this is something that we can play on the Garmin GPSRs. The Windows Mobile officially is also supported, but there are some unofficial apps now, like the Android and iOS app, which is at PyGo I mentioned earlier in the show, and there's even a player for J2ME devices. Well, since we talked about this in an earlier show, and you can go back and look at that later, I'm thinking we probably don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but this kind of gives people a quick idea of what location-based gaming is all about. It's not just a geocaching, and most of what we're seeing now in the location-based gaming arena are these more intricate smartphone, PDA, GPS-type devices that are getting involved, and you need them. You know, geocaching, let's face it, if you have a good satellite map, you really don't need to have a GPS with you at all.
That is true. So the first thing that we want to talk about before we talk about anything else is the Facebook Places. Facebook was kind of, well, it wasn't the first player in this game as far as other location-based games. But basically what it is obviously you've got the Facebook app right on your phone. And you can check in to different places that you are at. And basically the check-in is, you pull up in the Facebook app, you say, okay, find me, basically. And it finds the objects that are around you, like the local supermarket or the Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever you're around. And you can check into that place and you can kind of see who's around you there. And one of the cool things that I've heard, I've not actually used it since I don't have a phone. I just have the iPod Touch. But I've heard that there's some pretty good deals at local shops that if you're checked in there, you can show them your phone or whatever and you can do a deal, maybe a buy one, get one free, things like that. Daryl, I know that you're not a big Facebook user, so you probably don't have much experience with this, do you?
No, not at all. And this is actually one of the newer players, but we did want to mention it because it is one of the newest players. It is the biggest name in just about everything these days is Facebook. They're actually probably more well-known at this point than Google is. So, we have to mention it, but it really is not as much a game, nor is the one that they kind of unseated, which was Foursquare. And I know that you were also involved with Foursquare.
I was. And
before we go too much further, though, we do want to mention that what we're talking about today is in no way a complete list. And we really would love to hear from any of you guys out there about any other location-based games that you've tried. And if you're not listening to us live, just call those in to our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS, and we'll play back your voicemail on a later show. But if you're listening live tonight, just call the 724-444-7444, do TalkCast ID 7525, and hit the request to talk.
Or if you're just on the telephone, that's *8. We'll get you in our request to talk also. Now, the Foursquare, like you mentioned, it was, I would say, one of the earlier players in this type of a game. It's, again, played on Android, BlackBerry, iOS, Palm, Nokia, and other web-based and location-enabled devices. Foursquare gives you and your friends new ways to explore your city. You get to earn points and unlock badges for discovering new things. You check in at locations just like the Facebook app. So if you're at your local coffee shop, you open it, you say, find me, or check in. It finds your coffee shop, and you go ahead and check in. Now, what we're talking about here with the badges and discovering new things is like if you go out 3 nights in a row, they end up giving you what they call like a badge to put on your Foursquare profile of like a night person or things like that. It knows the time that you're checking in and the kinds of places that you're checking in. One of the things that was kind of nice with this, as opposed to some of the other ones, is you were able to, the earlier ones in this, is you were able to add your own locations. So if, say, your local coffee shop was not in Foursquare, you could add it and in there. Well, then we also see a lot of, like, Foursquare spam, I guess you do. Like the traffic light at Main and Third is a Foursquare app place and things like that. Now, there supposedly is deals at local shops. Usually it's for the mayors, and I'm going to say that a mayor for a Foursquare is somebody who has been to the location more than anybody else. So if I'm been to the location 7 times, and that's more than anybody else has checked in there. I'm the mayor. And now if I keep checking in, I stay the mayor unless someone else obviously checks in more than me. And usually if you're the owner of the coffee shop, you can claim the location as yours and then offer deals towards mayors and or anybody else, first time check-ins, things like that.
Now, yeah, and as I understand, that is a paid for advertising service that lets you do this. But one of the things that's really great about Foursquare is for people who are just kind of out, running around on their own, but with friends in the area, because it does really give you a good way to connect and say, hey, you know, George is over at the bar. I want to go and hang out with George tonight.
Yeah, that is true. And so you can kind of see your friends. It's kind of, like a social network. Now, another player in this game, and I've played with it a little bit, but I know that you're really new to this application, is Gowalla. On your last trip to Florida, you used it a lot. Tell me more about it.
Now, you know, I had been doing both Foursquare and Gowalla for a few months, and first of the year, I just gave up on Foursquare because to me, it just wasn't fun. It was seeming too much like a chore, and I really wasn't getting anything out of it. Gowalla, however, really started to feel like it was very much a replacement for geocaching, where I could do, you know, my normal day-to-day stuff and just go out and get a little bit of that geocaching fun in. Now, it does require that you have some kind of smartphone. It works right now on the Android, the BlackBerry, the iOS devices, and Palm. So if you've got one of the webOS devices, you know, you can grab the client and play it there. But it basically works the same way. You're just checking in locations. You have the virtual passport that you can collect the stamps, and that's just, you know, all the places you've been. And you don't have the mayorships. You do have a leaderboard, but you don't get anything really special for that. The thing that really got Dree hooked on this, because she's into this now too, is the virtual swag. And when you check in, you'll get some bonus swag that you then get to keep, or you drop it, or you trade it through locations. You can't give it to people, which, you know, is kind of sucky, because it'd be nice to be able to, you know, check into the same spot and, you know, just swap between yourselves. But as it is right now, if there's nothing there, you have to drop the item and then someone else picks it up. So it's not going to be in your inventory. But the whole concept of this virtual swag that you get is you want to collect one of every icon. And right now, I want to say there's something like 250 of these icons that you get to collect. But that's also on top of the trip awards that you get. So when we went down to Disney, we got an award for hitting every one of these six items, or six locations, actually, that were, you know, original Walter Disney, or Walt E. Disney, whatever you want to call him, his original concept. So when you hit all of those, you got a pin for that. You know, every time we hit a new state, we get a pin for that. So there's these cool pins and trips and, you know, more accomplishment kind of things that are really fun. One of the new things that was added, though, is the ability to leave notes for friends in other locations. So it's kind of fun to just, you know, go to a particular location that you know someone's going to go to and drop them a note. For instance, when one of our friends was just starting out on the service, because we got him into it as well, he hit a place that doesn't have such, you know, good food, and he was recently on a diet. So I posted a little note there kind of razzing him about that. Oh, and you can also do the photos, and that's kind of fun to do the photos and add those in, you know, the comments and all that kind of stuff. So it is very much like most of the other location-based social network kind of things, but this really starts to get that gaming aspect going, where it's really kind of fun, and it actually started getting me out there to do more, you know, checking in at these stores that otherwise I just would pass by. But now I'll actually go in, you know, just kind of do some quick window shopping and then check in and say that, you know, I was there and check for swag and all that kind of stuff.
You know, we do have some audio here tonight from Gionster, so let's go ahead and play that.
This is Gionster 98, and I do use both Gowalla and Foursquare. I think it's a very interesting way, similar to maybe some sort of virtual caches, but without any real requirements. Another one that I think lots of people haven't noticed is Scavenger, which is a bit like a mix of Gowalla and Foursquare, as well as geocaching, since you check into a location and have certain challenges.
All right, so that actually brings up our next point here tonight is the scavenger. Daryl, I've not really played this. This is actually something that came onto my radar here within this last couple of days. I've not actually played it much besides, you know, I've not played it at all. What's going on there?
Well, it's a new hot player that's gotten a lot of attention. And for anyone who wants to look it up, it's SCVNGR. So they've eliminated a bunch of letters in there. But it is right now only available for Android and iPhones with data connections. They are working on some other links. It's a new service, a new app and all that stuff. So it's not really fully baked. So, you know, kind of take that into account if you try picking up and playing it. It does allow the check-ins. It does the social check-ins. It has challenges at different places. And this is kind of a cool thing because one of the challenges that they give you if you poke through the website and its tutorial is that it's a, I want to say it was a, you know, take the foil from your burrito and fold it into a bird or something like that. And if you take a photo of it, then you get a challenge point. And when you earn enough of those challenge points at some of the venues, then you'll get like a free burrito or whatever. Again, it's kind of that Foursquare thing where you can earn real world discounts, or, you know, they just call them real world rewards. So it is kind of neat in that respect. My problem when I started playing with it is there wasn't enough activity around me. I downloaded and tried it a little bit again tonight. Didn't really find a whole lot that interested me in it, so I've actually deleted it and kind of kept going.
Well, that is definitely interesting. I might have to check that one out. Like I said, it's just come across my radar here in the last couple of days. Now, the other one that I've not really heard of is Whirl, WHRRL. And again, that's going to be played on the Android, BlackBerry, and iOS devices. You can check in with photos and notes. Now, do you know much more about this one? This is, again, a pretty new one. It seems like there's a lot of players into this location-based check-in services lately.
Are a ton of these new services out there, and there's too many that we just couldn't hit them all. So we were just trying to grab some of the ones that have gotten a little bit more attention or just kind of struck our fancy. And this even goes back to one that we talked about earlier on the show, which is the Hidden Places app for the iPhone, which really hasn't had a whole lot happening, but that's still a location-based game. It's just a much more limited one, and that was targeted back toward the younger crowd. But Whirl is essentially just another one of these social networks like we've been talking about with Foursquare, Gowalla, and kind of Scavenger. But the thing that seems a little bit unique with Whirl is they use these societies to connect with real-world users based on similar passions like tastes and interests. So you can get, it's a more social location-based game, and you can get together with these similar-minded people and, you know, kind of share experiences, I guess. Again, we haven't really tried this one, so we don't really know what it's about, but it does look kind of interesting, especially if you're looking for more social connections.
Now, there are some things that we need to talk about here. When you're using these type of games, is privacy. You know, you don't want to kind of be private, because the things that people can see where you're at and checked in locally to you, you know, locally, people are all worried about geocaching.com and being able to kind of track where your location is because of the caches you hit. Well, now you bring in a whole new level to that, and you're actually saying, "Hey, I'm at this McDonald's right now," or whatnot like that. So if you're gonna do these games, and what I would recommend is, please don't create a location for your home, because this is, you know, people will definitely be able to tell where you're at. This seems to be something that a lot of people are doing. They're creating locations for their homes and checking into their homes because a lot of these services don't allow you to go off the grid or check out of a place like that. You have to actually go into a new place. So if you do that, though, don't put the actual location of your home. I did, when I was using Foursquare, I'm actually not using any of these location-based games right now, but when I was using that, I did create a location for my home, but I left it out at the very edge of the subdivision, like in the middle of the road. So if anyone was going to try and find me, I guess they could know what subdivision I lived in, but that's about it. They wouldn't actually know which house I lived in. So that's one of the things you need to remember Also, don't announce that you're leaving home or you're going to be gone for a while or things like that, because that then allows people to know that you're not here. And that brings up the whole service of pleaserobme.com that we've talked about. I believe we've talked about this before, is that there's people, all of these services have like an API that can be pulled and searched. And so this website searches people that are saying that they're leaving home and brings them right up on the website and allows people to go ahead and see that. So just be smart. Select which of your friends can see your location. Just kind of like in Facebook, you know, you can select what people have access to your updates and things like that. Do the same thing with these location-based games. Don't let everyone see that where you're at, things like that. I would say that another thing too is remember that a lot of these places offer the ability to update your Facebook and your Twitter location or status based on where you're checked in. This sometimes, to those of us, especially who don't play the game, kind of get old if you see this in your Facebook and Twitter stream, just everybody checking in different places and things like that. So kind of be mindful of that if you're going to check in. Don't flood your Twitter stream with places that you're at, because people may not care, quite honestly. So just be kind of mindful with what you do on these things. Now, Head Hard Hat in our chat room mentioned Looped, L-O-O-P-T. You know, I don't really know much about that one. Can Head Hard Hat, we're going to go ahead and bring you on here. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I know it's an older service. What exactly is it? How does it exactly work?
Yeah, hi. Basically, Looped is a very similar to, like, say, Google Latitude, where you will have your GPS coordinates come up when you press places, and it will bring up a series of businesses that are near those coordinates. When you do that, you choose simply the place that you're at, and then you can put any kind of text that you would for, like, say, a tweet or for Facebook. It will actually mark that you've been there and how many times you've actually said that you've been there, and then it will actually send out that tweet or that Facebook comment with a little map showing exactly where you're at. So again, you do need to be careful when you do this because it does show literally where you're at.
And another thing that was brought up too is Wood Mike says that sometimes he does geohashing, and you can Google that. I don't know if there's an official location for it, but basically there's a way to create coordinates based on the date and the time and things like that, and you have to go and try to find a bunch of these coordinates places, just kind of say you were there. So that's another alternative to geocaching.com. Now, the chat room here is all going on about all these different services like that. If you guys have used these, if you guys have different services that you use, we'd love to hear about them. 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. And so we're going to go ahead and if you have those, go ahead and give us a call. Again, if you're listening to this later, call our voicemail, 206-350-3GPS. Now, Daryl, any other things, location-based services, games that you like to play?
Well, getting back to, I haven't actually played them, but getting back to the more offline type of games that are still location-based, the GPSgames.org site does have a bunch of other, you know, more traditional physical games that you play with a GPS that's worth taking a look into. My problem has always been with that one, there's no one else playing any of the ones that I'm interested in my area, so I really haven't been able to get into that. But it's another good site to go and check out some alternatives to geocaching for when you want a break, you know, something maybe a little easier, maybe something a little bit more challenging, or just a change of pace. One of the other things we should mention, though, in the safety security thing, is that a lot of people are taking to checking out of location rather than checking in. So rather than doing their check-ins when they first get there, they'll do them when they leave so that people don't really know they're there. It's not a bad practice if you want to take advantage of it, but really it comes down to just make sure that you're not broadcasting that information to your friend, to anyone but your friends, and even kind of, you know, limit who's friends on these services. And especially when you're dealing with something like Facebook, where anything that your friends can see, other people can see as well, it really is a good idea to limit the information that you're putting out there.
Well, and that's, you know, that's a good point too, as far as limiting it to your actual friends. You know, I found, and you probably see this a lot too, is, you know, being podcasters and geocachers, we get a lot of, you know, people that are friends on like Twitter and Facebook that are people that we don't actually know. And I'm perfectly okay with that on both of those services. But when I was using the other services, it kind of struck me odd at first that people that I knew were geocachers, but didn't live anywhere near me, wanted to be friends on this like location-based services, which is a little bit interesting. But, you know, again, I'm not playing any of the games right now. So, but, you know, it is, again, good, just wise safety precautions to only let those type of things into those people that you actually know.
Yeah, but one of the cool things is when you do have these wider geographic areas with more people, when you go to one location like Geo Woodstock, for instance, you have a lot more people that you're friends with and can kind of watch where they're going around the venue.
That is definitely true. Well, you know, it's been a good show. It's one of those things that, you know, you don't really think, you know, there obviously are other alternatives out there to geocaching during the winter, different type games like that. And it was good to talk about that tonight, especially those of us who are in colder areas right now during this time of the year. We want to thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. If you find any value in the content of this podcast, please consider visiting geocachingpodcast.com/support. Join us each Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line. That's 206-350-3GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.